it's so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous twilight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant. Please dream me.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already. And let's get started off. Let's run down to Corpus Christi. Let's check in with old Captain Cliff Webb, see what he's up to. Hey, Cliff, how you doing, man?
Morning, Mickey.
What's up?
Hello, buddy. Oh, well, I was going to see if you need a little extra salt water. I'll send you some down.
We got plenty, son. We got plenty.
You got plenty? You don't need any extra?
We're back. We got a lot of salt now.
God almighty,
high water.
It's this crazy high tide. You know,
king tides.
It's something else, man. It's just crazy how much tide we got. But I keep thinking that we're going to get a southeast wind to blow it out, but we don't get. We're getting an east wind. You know, it doesn't really do a whole lot. It's just I've never seen it boat up for so long. It's just weird.
Yeah, y'all have had high water for a while.
Yeah, a month. You know, it's just crazy. But so I got a trip on Monday, and man, it just was crazy how the day started. I started out with about a 20-mile-an-hour due west, not a bit of south in it, just straight west wind. Get you some of that. when you're at 37, you can smell the cattle from the King Ranch shoreline. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. You know, when you're going down there.
Well, see,
like yeah,
at least you get to smell cow flops or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
We smell chemical plants when it's west.
There
wind.
You go. I guess it could be worse, you know.
Petrochemical,
you know,
yeah.
Horse flies and deer flies all over. It's just crazy. So
I hate them man, deer flies, man. They bite hard.
They do, man. But, you know, I had a really neat crew. I had a man, Jimmy's 86 years old, and just a fishing machine. And I had his nephew, John. And so, you know, I go to this first spot, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I got a west wind, these big points, this bait's coming out of the bay, back out of Zion. These points are going to be loaded with fish. It's going to be coming around the corner. It looked good on paper is all I can say. So I get up there, and I make a drift across this point, and there's not a single bait fish flipping. There's none. I go, what is this? Like a dead sea, and we don't catch anything. I go, I can't believe this. And so I go to another spot with more sand and grass, and we catch a couple dinks. It's 10 o'clock, and, I mean, I ain't getting nothing. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. You know, the wind finally started dying a little bit out of the west and get a little bit of south to it. So I make a long run and I go down the cut. And what's happening now, so that tide is now falling out. And all those channels going back in the 9-mile hole were dumping into the ICW there in the land cut. But I got a west wind. I can't fish it like I normally do, you know. And so I drop the totem board down and I go down that east side, which is very unusual, but the water was coming out of roll-offs there and flowing bait right down that side. And I kept seeing these big blow-ups right up on the sand where it's normally, you know, it's normally 6 inches. It's 2 foot up there. And there was mullet showering out and these big blow-ups in there. And I go, man, there's got to be redfish in there or something. So I set up a drift. And so Jimmy's got – we all got topwater on. I'm throwing my one knocker and other guy's throwing a pink something. And Jimmy's got this little skitter walk on that's not silver. It's chrome with a black back. And he put on a show, dude. I mean, he could have sold us chrome and black for anything he wanted. He was just nuts, man. And you know, he's 86 years old and whipping the young guy's butt, man. It was good stuff. But we throw up on the edge, and they would come up and just make a big silver flash at it, and you could bring it all the way to the boat. They're going to eat it. You could not take it away from them. It was cool. And we sat there on that one drift and probably caught 40 trout on top water, you know, and a couple big reds got off, but it was just Katie bar the door. And there was some small fish in there, but then you get one, you know, 19, 20, 22 inches in there. But you could just see it going off, Mickey. It was just like the first 200 yards of that bank that was flowing out, that bait was flowing. And then when it made a turn, it was flowing out deep and getting away from the bank. They weren't eating. But that first 200 or 300 yards down that bank was really, really good. Just saved my day. And it kind of slowed down there. So I said, hey, man, I'm going to go to that next break. It's about 5 miles down the next channel and go down there. And we start catching them, you know, same thing. And then two or three boats pulling there with shrimp, you know, kind of cut us off. And so then I go back to the other spot. But anyway, that kind of saved my bacon, that weird drift. We never make that drift, Mickey. I mean, we never fish the east side hardly. We always fish the west side where all the grass is at. You know, I'm fishing bare sand with just a few little spots of grass. But the deal was the bait was there, you know, and they didn't have much cover either. That's what was so cool about it. That current coming out of there, and those fish know that bait didn't have much current and didn't have any cover to get in. So they just push them up against the bank and eat them. I mean, that was cool.
Think about it. We've caught very few fish in our careers when there wasn't any bait around.
Yeah, and that was it, you know. And that's why I'm so stupid to say that first spot. I go, man, there ain't no bait here. And I'm already committed. Well, I'm already committed because I'm in the middle of the rocks. I got to troll out there, you know, 15 minutes to get out of where I'm at. I finally got into this real nasty spot.
That's the deal. You can't just hurry up and pick up and hook them up. No. You got to wiggle your way out of there.
Yeah, and you can't fire up and get on top because you're going to bang your lower unit off. So, you know, I got committed to that drift, and I thought about it, and I'm thinking it's going to be good. There were some pelicans working out deep. I said, man, these fish are going to be in there, and they weren't. You know, then I hit a couple of the spots. It was just in the major was like 11 o'clock, and, boy, it was dead on. We pulled up to the cut, you know, 10:30, and that's when we started just spanking them. And it was a different animal. You can tell when they're feeding, Mickey, when they just eat that top water, you know. And if they miss it and you let it sit still and move it one more time, they smoke it. You know, that's when I like it.
Yeah, that's fun, man.
Yeah. It was kind of a good day on Monday. We finally pulled off and getting the fish with him. He's 86 years old, and, man, he never, you know, he stayed
with it. I hope I can still get in a boat when I'm 86, if I make it there.
He's in good shape. Yeah. Yeah, he was ready to wake fish. I got him in the winter. I got him in January. We're going to wake fish corkies with him.
Isn't that something, the longevity of some people? That's just guess he's lived a good life.
I don't know, but he's fished with all the guys on the coast, and really his nephew too. John was a super guy, and he, you know, John said, you know, this trip's about him. You know, this is my last relative here, and you know, and so they just had a great time, just great people. But that chrome, and the difference between silver and chrome. So I put on a pink with a silver belly, and they're eating it, but not like that chrome.
Yeah, isn't that weird how that chrome works? I mean, hey, I've been a fan of it since the 80s. I mean, chrome and blue, chrome and black, man, it's hard to beat, brother.
Well, that straight back you used was chrome and blue.
Yes.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah, my biggest stringer ever was on chrome and blue straight back.
Yeah.
And had several others that were crowding that one, you know, with that same bait.
Mm-hmm. That's something about that chrome. That's in the surface. That's
but
what
you know
Billy
that
Hannaford,
bait, I mean, I can still catch a few fish on it now, but I just don't have the big fish. You know, those big fish wanted that bait for whatever reason. I don't know what it resembled to them, whether like a needle gar appearance. I don't know. But.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you said it. You don't have the big fish to eat it. You know, that's
well, and when you do catch something on it now, it's a decent fish for Galveston, you know, 4-pounder or something like that. But oh, man, I could write a book just on straight back redfins. My goodness.
You know, and I was talking to Barry's fishing a turbot down in Mansfield today, and he said, you know, what's my go-to for big trout right now? I said, you know, this time of year, my go-to is two things, a top water or a double D, a Meridine, something like that, imitates a shad. But your really big fish, I think, will eat top water better right now than anything. because you still got a lot of small trout in the system. You still got the shad. You still got everything. They got plenty to eat. But when they see something on top like that, it just flips their switch a lot of times. They're, even though if they're not eating, they're going to at least let you know they're there.
Yeah. Well, but,
I love that topwater bite in the fall. Oh, my God. Mm.
Just got
we just get some water out of here.
From a listener, are y'all using baits reels yet? Well, yes.
Yes, sir. When they're smoking
salty
hot,
hundo.
Man.
Love them. I'm liking mine.
I put on that little bitty top water, and I can just throw the heck out of it with that reel. That reel
you
is
can.
Fine.
How you do you have that little of a frame of reel and spool and everything? It's hard to believe you can get over 100 yards of 14-pound test on it.
It is incredible, isn't it?
You know, I use 12, so I'm getting a lot more than that. And, well, in 30-pound braid, you can get a lot more because it's smaller diameter.
Yeah, I'm getting about 100. Well, I'm getting about 130 yards, and I can dump it down.
Yeah, at least.
You know, it's awesome. What I like about it is the drag system is so smooth. You know, I don't get any jerkiness in that drag. I'm impressed with it. We'll see how it holds up. But
I like that clicking noise it makes, too, when it goes out.
It keeps me awake. It's good.
Alarm clock.
Alarm clock. Alarm clock fisher, man.
You got to love
it. It's good. Of course, our surf fishing is just crazy with the wind. We caught them last Saturday and surfed a little bit, but that's the only calm day we've had in a surf. And so after I talked to you last Saturday, I went out to surf and fish with Greg. And those big fish, Mickey, you throw it out and the water was clear, and they roll up right under your bait and never hit it. You'd see them, the water's real clear, and a wave would come, and you'd be working. There'd be two or three of them just doing the Macarena around that thing, just doing
is that aggravating circles. Or what? Get the gun
you never
out, man.
It. You know, Greg got a couple on, yeah, I know it. He got a couple on tails, but man, they just saw everything. I downsized, you know, took that Osprey line. He sent me some 17. I went down to 17 or what it was, maybe 15. Seems like I get them, you know, and still
yeah, I got
they
some of that. And it, I threw some 20 the other day, and I'd get on oyster shell, and if you hung up, you weren't getting your jig back.
Mm-hmm.
But 25, there's, man, a big difference between 20 to 25 and 30. And that's what I have to throw at fishing that heavy shell like that.
I was going to ask, you probably got to go to 25 or 30.
Now, you know, wade fishing the flats and everything, that, you know, that 17 and 20 will be fine. But, when you get in that structure, you got to have a little bit bigger diameter if you want to get your bait back.
Yeah. I had, you know, it's funny you said that because on Monday I had a guy lose three baits on the little twist-off ties, the little ties again.
Oh,
and they straightened them out. They straightened them out. I guess it was a cheaper tie, but they he lost $20 worth of plugs on those. And so we took it off and tied a loop knot. I said, there ain't nothing better than a loop knot. You know what I mean?
No. If you're going to go to that, if you're going to use a swivel, you got to use a cross lock or go to that clip.
Yeah.
Like I use that little chrome clip that Eagle Claw makes or Sampo. And, you know, those quick connects and all that, if you're jigging a corky and working it hard, it'll spin itself off of that swivel.
And that's what was happening with corky. It's funny you said that because they come back with just that little nothing. It was gone.
That's it.
You know, that's what's happening. It's twisting off. It's twisting
the
off.
The wire's so thin on the nose of that corky that it'll work its way out of there with, you know, when you put a lot of action on it. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll come right back at you, buddy. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, along with their regulators and diffusers, plus they refill your bottles right there at the store. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're at Boyd's, check out all their fine wild caught guff shrimp. No farm raised at Boyd's. It's all quality guff and bay seafood. If you're looking for the big 9-12s or the 15-18s, Boyd's has always got them. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun Grill next door, they put out some really good food at great prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 6:20 here in the Bayou City. Cliff, what were we even talking about, man? I'm my head's
top
swimming.
Water, yeah.
Yeah, top yeah, water.
Well, and, it's funny because, you know,
and Cliff that Bates spin off of.
Yes, and it's crazy how that loop knot has solved all my problems. I don't throw anything but a loop knot on everything, you know, and I don't use any swivel, no jewelry, you know. I don't want to look like Mr. T, so I don't use nothing.
See, I'm a Mr. T guy. I like a barrel swivel.
I know a lot of guys
well,
still do.
Well, I use mono, and I don't like line twist, you know.
Yes, you have to.
Because the way I work my bait, I'm going to get a lot of twist, especially with a corky. Because I'm beating on that thing like nobody's business, man. I'm getting all that good spin out of it and injured shad if I'm throwing a fat boy or what have you. And that's the one that spins a lot is that fat boy when you're really working it hard.
And it's funny, if you got a fat boy with eyes just a little bit uneven, you can't believe the difference in the twist. And so the first thing I like to do when I get a fat boy is take it with my thumb and just bend it down just a little bit, you know, put your thumb on top of the nose and tail and just bend it just a little bit down and then throw it out and reel it straight in with the low rod tip and see if it goes side to side or if it leans over to one side.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the key. So when you pump a corpy and you twitch it and you keep it under power a little bit, it should shiver down, should shake down. That's what this flips their switch when it has that little shake.
It flips their switch, doesn't it?
It does. They like that, you know.
I had like trout, a big trout. You had to turn one down.
I know it. It was like, you think about it, it's like a big trout whack something. He's a little bit sick. He's kind of going. He's kind of flipping down. But he never, a mullet never falls tail first because his head's heavier. And so if you keep just barely turning that reel, it'll fall forward a little bit. And that's the key to it right there.
That's why I always bend the head downward.
Yeah, it's too. And it's funny how some days those fish will be on soft dines. And you'll catch more fish on soft dines than corky.
Oh yeah,
isn't that weird? And I think mainly there's a bunch of shad around at that time, or pogies around there. They're eating on them, you know, and this just kind of fits what they're eating.
Well, you think about especially up here where I'm at, because we got two rivers and all these bayous and stuff feeding our bay systems, and it's just a shad hatch after shad hatch coming out.
Yeah,
and that's really their basic diet: the redfish and trout, and. Yeah. You know, when the shrimp's big, you know, they get on that, you know, when we're getting shrimp migrations and all that. And then mullet, when we have them, we just don't have the mullet here like we used to have, where our big fish just stayed on a mullet diet like your fish do down there.
In the winter, they do. They really do.
And I think that mullet diet is what really attributes to the weight gain and the length and the largeness of the fish when they're steadily on that.
I agree.
Y'all grow some mules down there, buddy.
It's crazy.
Fish is what blows my mind, because
I know it.
When we see a long fish up here, it's 26 to maybe a dirty 30 every now and then, but mostly 26, 28 inch. But they're footballs. They're so they ravage up with shad so much. They just all that protein, they just keep swelling up. And your fish down there, boy, they get that.
Yeah, well, you got shoulders. I mean, those fish are yours. I've seen some pictures of them.
Oh, you can't get your hands around them,
you know, and that's different. But, it's like I always tell everybody, it's your environment they live in. You know, they're down there, they're more of a deep water fish type deal. Ours is shallow water. They got to run a long way in the skinny water, so they got to be sleek and long to move through that water to chase their stuff down, So, And I look at some of the trout mounts I have is the tail on these fish.
Oh, goodness.
My God. The tails on these fish, how much power they got with
too.
A couple of
y'all's,
and, yeah.
Y'all's heads on your fish are way bigger. We get those pin heads up here. I've caught 8-pound trout that had like a 4-pound head on them.
Really?
I
never did realize that.
We used to call them pin heads. Yeah, they looked weird.
What's that about? What's that about, Mickey?
It's just the girth. They grow that girth.
Huh.
Between their head and
tail. Well, it makes
their head
look small. Yeah. They're so fat, it makes their head look small.
Well, yeah, it does.
Uh-huh. Ah, that's something. We had one of our guys, I come in Thursday, and one of our guys is about 3 o'clock, and he's on his second trip with bait, and he's real mad. He's got a 29.5-inch trout laying there that John Glenn's going to come pick up, but he's only got 7 keepers instead of 9, but he had a limited red, limited drum, and he's making all this noise about parks and wildlife is putting him out of business because all the slot fish are leaving. I said, well, how many fish you throw back? He said, I threw back about 40 oversized. I said, you're complaining about throwing 40 trout oversized back, and you're worried about you'd only have a couple less than you normally do hanging up, and everybody's happy. They got a trophy trout, and you're worried about our limits. I mean, give me a break, dude. God.
No, you can't break you that know? Mentality. I mean, that's just
it's weird, dude. It's
it
weird.
It is. I mean,
you know
that. I mean, 40 oversized thrown back. I mean, what a great.
And you don't
day.
Think that? Yeah, you don't think the customer loved that?
I mean, no, I guarantee he said
he'd throw a picky, he throw a picky perch out there, and he said barely clicked the reel and gear in a pothole, and then just knock it out of your hand. Everybody's hooping and hollering, having a great time, and he did two trips that day, and he's worried about not getting nine. He only had seven on the last
he's
trip.
He's worried about putting him out of business, that. And he's still running two trips a day?
He's man, running
what
two
was he
trips
running before, three or four?
I don't know. It's funny on, how these man. Guys think. We got the best deal ever, you know.
You can't man. You can't please everybody, man. It's
That's
just,
true. That is so true, you know. And so I had that trip on Thursday, too. I had a trip on Thursday with two guys I fished with a lot, you know, and the fish are super scattered. We couldn't make up our mind to go Thursday or Friday because the wind was still humping out of the north, you know, just really blowing hard out of the northeast.
Right.
And a lot of east in it. But I look at the weather, and it's going to blow just the same on Friday. And I said, well, Friday, there's going to be more people. Let's go ahead and go Thursday. And so we pop out there, and the water's just super high, Mickey. So I'm going to fish the upper lagoon. We want to try to catch some redfish. And all those islands around Sulphur Road and, you know, Half Landing, all that stuff. All underwater, and we would set the trolling down with that wind where we could drift the tips of those islands, the little points,
right.
And every time we come across a point, pick up a red, pick up a trout, and that's the only place that we're concentrated was on those little tips where the wind was blowing uh-huh. around the tips of the island, and they were right up
exactly.
on top of it. You know, if I could have
well,
waited up
sense.
There, I probably would have done
yeah.
better, you know, but that's
oh,
what we were doing,
yeah.
you know, but we just, it was, I laugh at, I know it was Plogger, or one of those guys talking about school bus fishing where you pick up one here and pick up two here.
Yeah,
we were school
Watkins.
Bus fishing. yeah, that was good stuff. I thought about that. I said, man,
stop,
here I am,
pick up one.
Fishing.
One or two,
yeah.
and then move on. Yeah. Go to the next
God.
Stop.
yeah, we have one flurry. We pick up three nice trout on a tip. That was a flurry. You know, that was a flurry.
Yeah.
Three big ones. And all we go back around and catch one. You know, it's just like scattered. So, And, of course, with the high water in the winds, we got a grass issue, too, here. We've got a lot of floating grass. But once it falls out, it's gonna leave it, hopefully. But, I just can't believe having water this high this long. I don't remember having that before. This is 3 or 4 weeks of super high water, Mickey.
Yeah, well, it might have gone away some, but, you know, we're on our equinox, too, and then you're pulling, you know, the northeast and east winds, and here it comes. It even adds to it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm trying to remember what year. It was in the 90s, I guess. I don't know, but I had an unbelievable fall. I was wade fishing places I'd never waded before because it was always dry land. I don't know what
tide.
It is. Man, those tides stayed bulled up like this, and we pulled east winds forever. I was fishing the east side of Trinity, and man, I got over there one year, and jumping minnows was, I mean, that was it. That's all we threw.
Yeah.
We didn't even carry another bait with us. We took four or five jumping minnows with us. We'd get out of the boat, and, I mean, it was a big trout free-for-all. Unbelievable. Every day. We were loving it.
And were you slough fishing? Were you fishing back of sloughs?
No,
where you
I'm
fish,
just
fishing
straight
shorelines
that were normally, uh-huh. you don't, I mean, on a high tide, they were normally ankle deep, but on these tides, they were knee to waist deep. And mm-hmm. those fish had just, they just pulled into all of that. And it was crazy. Just throw a topwater up in there and just, I mean, you couldn't even get it clicked and geared good, and it looked like a commode flushed under it. Crazy.
Oh, that's good stuff. Most of your fish right up on the shore? Right up on the beach.
On the bank, baby.
Yep.
I mean,
that's what I'm seeing now, too. You know,
put it right next to that spartina grass and marsh grass, whatever was, you know, the foliage was on that shoreline that's normally in dry. And those fish were just up in there. I don't know whether they were eating little bitty crabs or, you know, there was a ton of little small shad and shrimp all in that. And they were just in there gorging like crazy. That went on for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And then
well,
when the tides went
tides,
back to number, I was lost as a goose when they went back to normal.
When they went back, yeah. They shuffled the deck on you. I hate that, man.
I said, where'd they go?
Yeah, I know it, man. And it's like my tie gauge bar that's normally, you know, 3 or 4 inches over it, or, and some of it's dry. It's right. got 2 foot of water over the top. And so, you know, I'm wading the bar trying to figure, okay, they're on the top, they're on the side, they're on the back side. And those fish last week were on the back side of that bar. Oh, and the reason was, yeah, the reason they were on the back side of that bar because the wind was blowing the bait over the top of the bar, and they were just running that trench behind that bar.
Right.
But there's not enough room but just one fisherman on that edge. So then you got to just drop people off and work down that edge. Once we found yes. them, we split everybody up and walked down that edge. But normally you're throwing, you're standing with the bar to your back, and you're throwing out deep to the grass beds, and that's where the fish are. There was nothing out there.
The biggest trout I ever caught down there was wading there, throwing out. You know, they were way out. That mullet was rafted up out deep, and I could barely reach them. And the water was air clear, and I ended up putting on a little bitty balsa wood Bagley finger mullet, and I was wearing them out with it.
I remember that bait.
It was in, and it was a black and chrome pattern, you know, black and silver.
I remember that bait. And it had one that had a little prop on it, too, that we could smoke on, a little prop on the back of it. But the one you're talking about was just a straight body, kind of had a bigger head.
Yeah, it looked like a finger mullet. Looked just like a finger mullet.
Yeah.
And they were smoking it. And I tell you, another bait back then that nobody ever really threw, and I loved them, was the old man dancers, Tom Mann. You know, bass fishermen.
Forgot about that one, man.
Remember the man dancer? It looked just like a mullet. Had a little fin on top of it and had the eyes and all. I mean, that was a great bait, too. Had a beautiful tone to it. You know, the rattle in it.
And, you know, Mariler makes that catch five. Is that the one? No. See, which is the one that stays up on top? The catch five?
Look
at that. It's kind of like a pencil. You know, it's just about as long as your finger, kind of skinny.
Oh, no, the catch five is a shad-looking pattern.
It's got the rattle in it. It's not the catch five. It's the catch 2000?
Catch 2000. Catch 2000. That's it. We caught a lot of giant fish over at Calcasieu on that bait back in the day.
Man, and it seemed like it worked so good in real calm conditions. And we'd catch them in the surf when those mullet were wrapped up in the surf, and it was just gin clear, and you could throw that 2000 out there in the middle of those mullet just aside and just kind of work it with them real slow, and they just get a toilet flush under them. They would love it. But if there's something that wasn't real, you know, something big or noisy, they wouldn't touch it. But that thing just kind of swam with the mullet, and they ate it. They liked it. It's funny we don't throw that stuff anymore, Mickey. We got too many other toys to play with.
Well, I've got them. I need to how can we throw everything that we have now? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I was in the garage the other day,
and you know what? If somebody comes out with a new line or a new lure, I'm buying it. I'm the biggest sucker in the world when it comes to new stuff. Well, we just like throwing new things, you know.
Yeah,
that's like when the Lilies and Hot Rods came out. I went crazy over them. Still am crazy about them. I love them.
I know it. I do.
You can fish them all day, and you don't get worn out. You know.
I started carrying me a hook sharpener. And my hands are so bad now, I really can't change hooks on some of these old baits. So I'm just sharpening those rusty hooks, Mickey. Just throwing them out there.
Hey, you remember those old, I think Berkeley made them. I've got a pair of them. Remember the old line strippers you'd pull your line off your reel with?
Oh, yeah. A little hand thing.
You know, you push the button, you run your line through it, and it just pulls all the line off the reel. De-spools
it.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Well, on the top of that, it has a hook sharpener on it.
Hook sharpener, a little round thing. Yes, I remember that.
And you put, you can make that thing razor sharp, you know, the tips of those hooks and, you know, down through the barb where you can file them down. Oh, man, like needles.
I was giving Doug Bird a hard time about his rusty hook. He said, look, when I sharpen the tip of that rusty hook, the rest of the hook is like a bunch of little barbs. He says when it sticks in their face,
grabs better. I remember him telling me and Blaine that one time. We were waiting him, me and him and Bob Houston and Blaine, and said, Doug, them hooks are kind of rusty. Well, you know, I do fish and baffing, you know, and I said, then he came back on me and said, look at the tips of them. They're all shiny. He said, I sharpened them last night.
Yeah.
They're all shiny.
That's funny, isn't it?
Let me knock this break out. Hang on a second.
All right, man.
All right, just a minute. All right, well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. They're easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facilities are right next door to one another. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their you know, pulled pork and their homemade hot dogs. That's available on the menu also, with bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And their original country hot dogs, buy two packs, get the third one free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing facility, just in time for deer season, they have a new sausage recipe. Go by the store and try it out. You got to try it. It's really good. Deer tamales, venison hot dogs. Get it all made with your venison. Your family will love you for it. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys, 11 to 13-pound average weight. Limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning, and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 6:39 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, buddy. Where were we?
Well, I got a bunch of interference. I can barely hear you. I got a bunch of commercials running in my ear. I can barely hear you.
Well, you're still having commercials in your ear?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm getting a lot of, like right now, I've got a Spectrum commercial. I can barely hear you.
It's coming through our lines to yours?
Yeah, sir, I guess so. It's the whole time that I was on hold, I'm hearing it. But right now, it's louder than you are.
Okay, well, we'll call you right back. All right, buddy. Jace, go ahead and call him back and see if we can get rid of that problem. That's weird. Oh, well. We'll get there. Never had that happen before. But you've heard of gremlins. We got them. All right. Well, no, that's funny. We were talking about those rusty hooks and everything, but we're all guilty of it. How many, I mean, all the trout I used to catch back in the day needed tetanus shots because everything I had was rusty. But, you know, you keep catching fish on those hooks. I mean, they don't lose their strength, and they seem to, the more you catch on them, the sharper the tips of the hook get back to the barb. And now I hardly use barbs, especially with a jig. You know, if I'm throwing a soft plastic or whatever, I pretty much mash my barb down. There's just so many little fish in the bay now, you hate to kill anything. And you will, you know, you use a big barb, you can't get the hook out properly. Is he back? All right, Cliff, let's try this now. Is that better?
That's much better. Yeah, okay. You're getting clear now. I was just getting some interference there.
Okay,
what's going on there, man?
Well, we're good to go.
But, you know,
we're talking about Doug and those rusty hooks.
Yeah, it was great, man. You know, one of the best days I ever seen Doug had, and we worked with Godzilla in this rock called Godzilla.
I remember that rock. I fished it before.
Oh, my God, man. That rock would get so full of big trout. And so I'm over about two rocks, and we're both anchored up, and we're throwing twitch baits and thunder sticks and stuff against those rocks, and you couldn't get one back. And I'm looking at Doug. He's got a box of hooks on the top of the console and a pair of pliers. All he's doing is changing those because those fish were straightening and ripping the hooks out of those things. You know, he'd net a big old fish. He'd take it off, and then, you know, he'd look at the hooks, take one off, you know, bend it back. But some of those freshwater baits we used, those thunder sticks and stuff, didn't have really good hooks, or the big fish would just tear them up. But I remember how Doug.
Well,
would
remember they had three hooks in them, and
yeah,
when you'd hook them just right, they would pry. As they'd shake their head, they would pry those hooks away from each other and straighten them out like that, like you're talking about,
yeah.
And even split rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I remember that. Oh, it was just crazy.
Harmonica mouth, boy, there ain't nothing prettier than. Big old trout coming up, and he's got the head hook on one side of his jaw and the tail hook on the other, and just going crazy.
Yeah.
Just get this barbed wire out of my face, baby.
Yeah, one of the coolest things I've ever seen is, I think it was Paul Eckelson was doing a show with Fishing Texas. I think it was Alan or Keith, can't remember. And I remember Alan and Keith standing on the bow of the boat, and we're going down these rocks, and it was gin clear. It's about 11 o'clock in the middle of the morning. And you could see these big black circles going in circles around the rocks. It was big trout. And they were sight casting them on TV. I wish I could see that thing again, but they sight casted a 29-incher on TV where they picked the fish out they wanted and threw at it. I said, you know, is that about as good as it gets when you can pick the size of fish you want and sight cast it? I said, those days were unbelievable.
That's like fishing in ponds for redfish over in Louisiana.
Yeah. God.
You know. Just flip it to the red, the tournament red you want. You know, he's big, short, and fat, and he's going to weigh a ton, you know.
Those fish over there weigh a lot. you know, that's amazing how fat those are.
Those are the shortest, fattest reds you'll ever see anywhere on the planet.
That's what everybody says, you know. I remember John Menileski used to fish over there, and he passed away this last week. I want to tell you on a sad note, we lost John Menileski. That's the last of the five. You know, I guess I'm number five, but, you know, we've lost Sheik and Bird and Menileski now. Man. And so I guess, and so one of the guys said that, they said, well, I guess you're next, Cliff. I said, don't say that, man. Don't say that.
Don't even joke about it.
Yeah, I
life
know,
is short
man,
enough as it is.
Great,
don't
great
give me any
guy
help.
Yeah, golly. But I think about how good of eyes that man had. John Menileski had some of the best fish eyes I've ever seen. He could see a redfish, you know, driving 40 miles an hour up on a spoil line. Go, there's two reds over there, you know, and it was really neat.
Yeah, Fire Mood, same way. Blaine, he's got them fish eyes. He's a fish hawk.
We used to call John the Barracuda because he's quiet and deadly. He didn't say a lot, but when he weighed his fish in the tournaments, everybody went, what? You know, he would just smoke them. Golly. But
Who is that quiet man?
Yeah, he was really, really something.
Hey,
man.
Shut up and fish, baby.
we hate to lose him, man, but he was a master of side casting redfish. That was his deal. Man, I think when he fished that redfish series, he did very well in it. I remember that back 20 years ago when he just started all that redfish stuff.
Yep.
It's funny. I think Joe Mendez or someone, I think Joey Ferris said this. Said, well, you still got Joe Mendez. He's still around. I said, well, that's good, man. We still got Joe.
Yeah. Joey Ferris still around? I guess Joey's down there, doesn't he, by you?
Oh, yes. He lives out here on the island. Joey's doing great, man. It's just you know, I remember when he was a kid.
He's all of my Troutmaster tournaments. He fished with Charlie for a year or two, I remember, back in the day.
He's a lot of fun to be around. He's a neat guy.
Yeah, he's
I used to call him a kid. Now he's not a kid. He's over 50. I go, what happened to all these young kids? They're getting old, man.
I know.
Losing all their hair and stuff. What happened, man?
Well, that's when you know we're nearing the end because all the guys we used to look at as being youngsters, they're all old-timers now, too. So here we go.
I got some old high school buddies coming down in April and fish with me, and they're retiring from their jobs now. They had real jobs, and they're reaching that age. You know, they're 65, 67, where they're retiring. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, I'm finally going to retire and fish. And I said, well, I can't retire because what would I do? I'm doing
that
what I want to do.
That is my retirement job. I've been retired all my life.
Retirement job. You know, I've been retired, and, you know, you can't retire if you never worked. So that's sad. It's true, but I still love what I do. I'm very lucky that I hadn't got burned out on it.
You've been around a long time, and you're still very enthusiastic. That's why we like coming and fishing.
And that's what's so sad about, you know, your area, while they change your playing field, you know, on you so much. It's hard to keep your focus. So they close your passes, you know, you got oyster issues, you know, it's a constant deal with you guys, and you're still keeping your head in the game. You know, that's hard to do, Mick.
It's very hard. Remember that litter commercial when you saw that Indian man paddling
his canoe crying
down a river?
Got a
tear running down one cheek. Litter on the banks and littered up his beautiful body of water. I mean, that's kind of the way I feel about Galveston sometimes.
Because I've seen
this bay at its absolute best, you know, from the time I was a little kid all the way through my career. And we've had our ups and downs, but we've always come back, you know, big time. And
the guy that says Mickey used to have Trinity Bay, and Trinity Bay was a big trout city, man. He said Mickey used to catch some pigs in Trinity Bay.
Well, in East
Trinity
Bay,
too, where you're
I think
at.
I probably caught more big fish in East Bay than I did Trinity. Trinity had more numbers of, like, quality fish, you know, your four to sevens. But East Bay, they had the eights and nines over there. I think we had so many in Trinity that you couldn't get to those eights and nines. They were there because we used to catch them. Mm-hmm. But not like we could in East Bay. East Bay, we could, you know, nail them down. And, well, that's my biggest stringer in my life came out of East Bay.
Yeah. And are you fishing
behind
mud pass?
Rollover pass, I might add.
Yeah, behind rollover. Yeah,
1 mile from that pass, you know. That's
golly.
There were so many giant fish used to swim in and out of that pass that used it religiously, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Days.
Were you fishing mud pads pretty much, Mickey, back then? Just
mud flats
mud and grass?
Back then, scattered shale, little clumps of shale, little pods of pig ears here and there.
And those fish were on the clumps of shell and the humps and stuff, right? That was their structure, the clumps of shell.
Yeah, and just, you know, the soft mud flats, they held the heat. They held that warm water through the cold winter. And
I like how trout are so smart, how they know to go shallow and let that black back heat them up like a heater. So they're hot.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
You know, that's just Mother Nature knew what they were doing when they painted
their you'd get on that north
black.
Side East Bay behind a cold front. And I remember Doug Bird, we talked about this, you know, 40 years ago. He was doing the same thing in Baffin, except, you know, it was, he had a different structure, but it was basically the same thing, the warmest water. And it was always behind those fronts with high pressure when you think you're not going to catch anything. But you did. And clear skies, low water, and warm water shallow, and those fish would be, you know, they'd be knee-deep.
Mm-hmm.
They'd crawl up in there and just baking the sun on that soft mud bottom. And he was doing it with sand bottom, same thing.
Yeah. And I remember Doug did something that was really unique, too. So, you know, we're trying to throw subtle colors in that real clear water, like, you know, Houdini, something real clear and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Doug would pull out a lime crude, something real bright, and whack them. And it was all about the reaction hit. Those fish could not take that bright light plug going through the strike zone. They just would not. They just wouldn't take it. They'd
eat
it.
And that's what we used to do back in the day. We'd throw chartreuse mirror lures with silver flash and what I called the Woody, the number 11 mirror lure. It was a redhead, white body with silver flash in that air clear water. Those fish went crazy over those two baits.
And it doesn't make any sense, you know?
It doesn't. You think, well, I'll throw this in kind of, you know, streaky or off-colored water. Well, no, you wanted that in air-clear water.
Oh, man, that was crazy. And we throw real bright pink and silver, you know, back then. You know, or chartreuse. Pink. You know, in that chartreuse, that jumping minnow with the chartreuse back in gold side was deadly.
Gosh.
You know? Man, that was good stuff.
Stuff. And the pink fluorescent. That is, man, from mid-November to early March, that the trout love pink. I mean, they can't turn it down. I mean, I've caught so many fish on pink, it's not even funny.
You know, if I had to throw one corky in the winter, they said, you got to throw one. I'd throw pink.
Yeah,
I mean,
there you go.
You know, then you know, Paul tweaked it a little bit. Paul tweaked that color, made a salmon color. And they went nuts on that salmon for 1 year. And now it's just okay, but for a couple of years, whatever it was in the water, they wanted a salmon color.
I remember that bait.
And I don't know why you never see them anymore, but now you got all these really Gucci colors, you know, that they catch the fishermen. But, you know, it is true. So you'll be fishing with four guys waiting down the bank, and one guy will have some color, and they're really on that color. You know, and that's what I like about trout. It does make a difference. Color does make a difference. You know, the big girls do see color, and that's a great saying that Jay made up, you know.
Yeah, big girls do see color.
And they do, and that's what he's got on one of his T-shirts. It's true. They do see shades of color, and sometimes they want that certain pattern of color.
I don't know what they're seeing, but they're seeing something, you know. The visibility of it, I can understand that. You know,
and the size of the bait, too. You know?
Back when we had big fish, I mean, if I was wading and I was, you know, fishing that clean water like that and fishing the flats, hey, a pink fat boy for when they were in there real shallow, and then as the sun would come up, they'd roll out a little deeper and get off that ledge, and then I'd go get over to the clear glitter with a chartreuse tail.
There you go. Uh-huh. And they made that hologram one, too, the hologram one they made.
Yes.
That was clear with the little chartreuse tail. That was a hot one.
That's one I'm talking about, clear glitter with
a chartreuse
tail.
Oh, that's the one? Okay, clear glitter.
Yeah,
okay,
hologram, whatever y'all call it.
I just don't see that anymore. I got some old ones that don't have rattlers in them, but I don't see that color new anymore. I guess they make it. I just don't see it.
I think out of the top 10 big stringers I ever caught on Sabine Lake were with that bait right there in original corky.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always had to throw deep off the drop-off for those fish over there.
I remember one day fishing with a salmon corking. I'm the only one in the bay. Temperature's 38 degrees. Water's like 42. And I could every cast a big trout with a salmon. And I'm looking around. It's 3 o'clock. My hands are bleeding because I didn't bring a pair of pliers. And I threw out the last cast I threw out, Mickey, and I kept the fish. The last fish I caught, he weighed 10 and 3/4 pounds because he sucked the Porcupine. I went and got in a boat and left. And I did not realize that was probably the last winter that it was, you know, right after that, I think we had a freeze or something. That was the last winter that you could stand and turn around and cast 360 degrees and catch a trout in the flats. It was stupid good. I mean, it was just, there was mullet flipping everywhere, big wakes everywhere. I mean, they were just, and not a single boat in the bay, you know. I look back at that and I said, I'm so glad I experienced that, because I don't think I'll ever see that again.
I remember those days, you know, when you're the only one around.
Only one there.
Anybody that knew you were there was either God or pintail ducks. That's the only one.
Pintail, that's true. Seeing the pintails come. That's a good one. You and the God and the pintails. That's good stuff, Mickey. That's good. I like that. I'm seeing pintails come down right now. I'm seeing flocks of pintails already.
Yep, they're coming in. They're getting ready for the opener.
Coming in, man.
They're ready to die. Hey, speaking of dying, man, Blaine told me that he's never seen doves flying in that norther like it's been the last few days. He said it's a sight to see. They're flying with the wind, and they're heading towards you. He said he's never seen anything like it.
Oh, we got birds like you've never seen, Mickey. It's stupid how many birds. We're limiting out by 5 o'clock. We're getting in the field at 4 o'clock and limiting out by 5. I've just never seen this many quiet things.
Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. Yes, it is. It's good. And you look at all the sunflower and all the croton and stuff we got now from the weather. They're not going anywhere. They got all the food they want.
They're
going
to winter there. The second season. That's when I love to hunt. Doves.
Oh, it's nice and cool. You have to worry about the snakes. Yeah, the snakes are gone, and it's nice and cool, and it feels better hunting.
Yes, a lot more comfortable, and man, and birds, you can put them on an alarm clock. They're guaranteed at the same time every day. Especially
they go northern birds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, buddy.
I love it.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, that was a good conversation. I enjoy it, man. We'll catch up next week and talk about some more good stuff. If somebody wants to call you and come down and roll up some toads, how they get a hold of you?
Roll up some toads.
Roll up some toads, baby.
I like that, man. I get me all excited now. All right, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
You got it, man. Thanks, Cliff.
All right, Bubba. Later.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time. We're already out of time. Imagine that. Well, we'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.